how many of us believe that God's word is absolutely true? I mean, do we really believe it? Then raise your hand, because I see hands on up. I was getting nervous up here. Okay. Do we believe that we'll get everything God promised? Yes. We absolutely believe that. Yes. And we believe that God cannot lie. Yes. Okay. Are we sure? Yes. Okay. As they said in that movie, is it clear? Okay. Crystal clear. Okay. Well, then I have a question. Since the answer to all of those questions was yes, why is it that we get stressed out? Why is it that we have this burning question inside us and it appears God won't answer? Why is it that because we don't receive the answer to this question that we just fly off the handle? See, and the question is, see, we don't have a problem believing what God says. We get hung up on when. We get hung up on, okay, God, you said that I would prosper and be in health. How long before this thing happens? And then we allow negative confessions to come out of our mouth. We'll say, because I'm not prospering and I'm not healthy. Say, God, what's going on with this? Well, you just called him a liar. Because he promised us some things in his word, and we have to understand that he didn't tell us when it would happen. He didn't tell us the exact date and time. He said in due season. And then for us, the next question is what? When is due season? And we rhyme right back at Squid. God, when is this going to happen? My son, my daughter, it will happen in due season. All right, yes, great. When's due season? And we get frustrated because we're trying to figure out, we want it now. We want it now. I remember Pastor Clinton taught a message about a microwave society where everybody wants things in a minute. You'll find out you get yourself a new wave oven. It may take 20 minutes long, but it'll taste better and it's better for you. You know, but no, we got to have it now. We have to have it right this moment. And really, our oldest son had this saying. He said he would always say, truth be told, and then say something. And I'm going to say, truth be told, we really don't want to know when. We don't. Truth be told, we want it now. Am I telling the truth or not? Yes. We want it right now. So it doesn't make sense to ask God when you already know the answer you want to hear. You want to hear now, my son, now, my daughter. But I'll tell you something. Let you in on a secret. That ain't going to happen. Look at Ecclesiastes. You know this passage in Ecclesiastes 3. I'm going to share in the Amplified. Let me know when you get there. I'm going to share the first 7-8 verses. Are you there? Most of you there? All right. To everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, S-E-W, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, and lastly, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. See, this verse is telling us that these things will happen, but they won't happen until it's their time. And we have to get used to waiting. We have to get used to just waiting. This past winter, it seemed like it would never end. Yeah. Folks got depressed. Some folks left town, you know, because they wanted summer. They wanted heat. They were tired of this cold. Well, really, we should have been rejoicing because God said, as long as the earth remains. So the first thing we know is that, praise God, the earth is still here. But he said, as long as it's here, there will be seed time and harvest. What else? Summer and cold and day in. And he said, it will not cease. But we want to know, when is this cold going to stop? My fuel bills are going through the roof. I mean, but what happened to my God shall supply all your need? So that means if you need some warmth, he'll supply it. Turn on some of the music that we've been playing in here, you know, this afternoon, today, and you'll make your own heat wave building up. You'll be sweating, and it's minus zero outside. But we are so quick as a people to complain about things and to really demand of God that he give us an answer. This church needed, back in 1984, we were meeting at Peace Hall, and they had other plans. They being whoever owned Peace, I think it was Fairleigh Dickinson University, whoever it was that owned that property, they had other plans for it. So they didn't renew the ministry's lease. So the ministry was now in need of another place to meet. And Pastor Clinton wanted a place now. He wanted a place now. Pastor Sarah got a word from God. Look at Habakkuk. We're familiar with it. Habakkuk 2. I want you to, you know, get to it quickly. I want you to see it in whatever translation you have. I'm going to share it in a King James, Good News, and Living. But verses 2 to 4 in the King James says, for the vision is yet for an what? That's right, for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. The Good News translation says, put in writing, because it is not yet time for it to come true. But the time is coming quickly, and what I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It will certainly take place, and it will not be delayed. Listen to the Living Bible. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not, listen to this, they will not be overdue a single day. They will not, what God promised, will not be overdue a single day. All that, after that, all that needed to happen was Pastor Sarah's faith had to kick in. That's all. And when it kicked in, she acted like it was so. And she made that part of her confession. And she had us confess it every service. Those of you that were there remember. Now, Pastor Clinton still wants to have a building now. And he asked Pastor Sarah, would you please stop making that confession? I don't need this at a point of time. I need this building now. And Pastor Sarah was agreeable to not confess it, but it was so much a part of her. Her faith had wrapped around it so much to the point where it was the abundance of her heart. So she went up to the microphone with every intention of not saying it, and out of her mouth came, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. She wasn't being disrespectful to Pastor Clinton. She was filled with that promise, and she wasn't about to let it go, even though it didn't appear that it was happening. And every time a contrary thought came up to infiltrate her thought life, she would confess out loud, no, God said that the vision is yet for an appointed time. And at the end, it will speak and not lie. And though it tarries, I'm waiting for it because I know it will surely come and it won't tarry. Well, see, regardless of how Pastor Clinton was feeling, we didn't need the building when he thought. He said, well, how can you say that? They wasn't going to renew the lease. Yeah, but they didn't put us out. That verse just told us it won't be a day overdue. We didn't need the building until 1985. And when we really needed the building, guess what? It was there. Just like God said, even though another corporation bought it. Didn't matter. God said the vision was yet for an appointed time. So that just meant someone else was responsible to the building until God gave it to us. And that's the way we need to look at it, because we said we believe God's word is absolutely true. We said that we believe that we'll get everything that God promised, and we said that he cannot lie. And since we were telling the truth when we said that, we need to stop getting upset when we don't get what we want when we want it. And we just have to ask ourselves, is this something that God has promised me? And if the answer to that question is yes, relax, rejoice, have a praise party, because you know it's coming. And you say, when? It doesn't matter when. The word said it will certainly take place and will not be delayed. It says, just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Not a single day. See, when you have a promise from God, this is what the Lord said to me today. When you have a promise from God and you don't allow faith to come in and embrace it, your patience, your peace, and your ability to wait get kicked out, and you become anxious, frustrated, annoyed, and rebellious. You say, well, how I become rebellious? You start trying to make it happen. That's why, can I be real? I'm going to be real anyway, so I'm glad you're in agreement with it. But that's why too many of you are in debt. Because God promised something, you saw it, and wanted it now. And you went out on your own, and got it before it was time. That's why some of you got hurt because you were believing God for a mate and it was taking too long. And so you went out and found one. You found one. And you found out it wasn't a good and perfect gift because it didn't come down from the Father of Lights. It came out of the depths of your desire. That's why we have Christians that are engaged in premarital sex. Because, and we'll come up with all of these reasons and try and get us to believe that this is God working. Well, you're partially true. It is a God working, but it's not the God of the universe. Okay. So you were right. You heard God. Or you heard a God, but you didn't hear the right God. And since Jesus said my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger he will run from. Why didn't you run? You got too familiar with the voice of a stranger because you had a burning desire for what God promised you, and there's nothing wrong with that, except you wanted it now, and you didn't want to wait and let God do it. Say, let God do it. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad he's talking about you and not me. Okay. See, we get we get so caught up looking for Mr. Right or Miss Right that when we don't find one, we'll create one. Okay, we'll create one and then go about convincing us, ourselves, and others that this is our gift from God. Okay, see, because what you do when you do that, in theory, you change the scripture. You change it to where it says, because it tarries, do what you can to make it happen right away. But that's not what it says. It said, though it tarries, wait for it. Why should I wait? Because it will surely come. And it will come on time when you really need it, not necessarily when you want it. Okay, we're going to examine quickly the account of Abram and Sarah. Okay, I'm going to move through this quickly. In Genesis 12, that'll be our starting point. We know the Lord said to Abram, get out of the country from your father's house and your relatives and to the land that I will show you. So he told Abraham, leave and go where I'm going to show you. He didn't tell Abraham where the land, what he just said, I'll show you. Go. He said, I'll make thee a great nation. In verse 7, he said, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Well, at that time, guess what Abram didn't have? That's right, he didn't have any offspring. Were there any conditions at that to what God said? Did God tell him how long it would take for this to come to pass? No, he just said, go. Where? I'll show you. Okay. How many of us will just pack up and go, not knowing where we're going? But God just said, I want you to leave your house and go to a place where I'll show you. Well, where is it? You know, if this can't be you, God, because you're not the author of confusion. I'm confused right now because I can't just leave my house and just go, and I don't know where I'm going. But if God said go, go. Genesis 15, verse 2. See, Abram forgot that God said to your seed, because in verse 2, he says, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And God said again, in verse 4, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall thy seed be. So he was letting them know, not only will you have one child, you're going to have a whole lot of children. They're going to be like the stars in the sky. Chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. How did an Egyptian get in the camp? See, when you read that out, you find there was a famine in the land. God didn't say, go to a place I'll show you unless you encounter a famine, then go where you think you can survive. He didn't say that. But Abram, not knowing where he was going to get any food, seeing a famine, seeing desolation where he was headed, He took his eyes off of where he was supposed to go and started surveying, and he saw something that looked good. And he said, we'll go to Egypt. Doesn't matter, we're going to have to tell a few half-truths to get in there, but we're going to go to Egypt. And he left Egypt with this little number named Hagar. See, when you take your eyes off of what God says and go and try and get it on your own, you may attach yourself to something that seems harmless at the moment, but down the road is going to cause you a whole lot of grief. Right? A whole, as they say, a whole lots of grief. Okay? Say, I'm not going to do that. Chapter 2, Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. That's true, because it wasn't time yet. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham listened to the voice of his wife. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. See, they created. They didn't see what God was going to do, so they went out and found a way to do it themselves. And Hagar conceived, and when she conceived, then all of a sudden she started now despising Sarai. See, I told you, it seemed okay at first, but down the road, now it's a problem. Why do we have this problem? You didn't trust God. You didn't even go to God and say, is this a good idea? You just, I have to have a child. Abrams, I have to have a son. And they fell victim to logic. Well, my wife's good with it. She's good with it. Hey, we'll be the world's first surrogate. You'll be the world's first surrogate mother. But it didn't quite work out that way. 17, chapter 17. God said again, for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? Abraham was waiting 25 years for this child, because he left when he was 75. He'd been waiting all this time for a child, and he's wondering, when is this thing going to happen? Instead of resting in the truth that God said it would, and that's all he needed. He asked God then, he said, you know, let Ishmael live before thee. And God said, no, your wife's going to bear your son. I'll take care of Ishmael, but my covenant is going to be with Isaac. Because that's the one that you're waiting for. In chapter 18, in verse 14, after Sarah laughed, and God responded, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then he said, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. He told Abraham, at the right time, I'll return to you the abilities, and you'll have a son. At the right time. In verse 22, chapter 22, it says, Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. At the set time. God said, at the appointed time, you'll be able to do what's necessary to have a child. and Sarah will bear you a son. And at the appointed, I'm over here, and at the appointed time, that's exactly what happened. Why? Because the vision is yet for what? An appointed time. And when that time comes, the vision will speak. It'll say, here I am. And it won't lie. But we have to be willing to just wait for it. See, we have to understand that God's promise is sure, even if he doesn't give us a time frame. We really don't need the time frame. All we need is the promise. That's all we need. Once God promised, signed, sealed, delivered, it's yours. Last week, Deacon Phillips, my wife, and I, we had 9 of our grandchildren over for a week. And during one of those days, we went to an orchard. And, I mean, a great orchard. They had peaches and apples and plums and, I mean, you name it, they had it. Okay. But I was sitting down thinking about that. I believe it was on Monday this week. And God said to me, did you notice all of the fruits and vegetables that were decaying on the ground? And I said, yeah, I didn't think anything of it because I've been to orchards before and that's what I see. And he said, why are they there? And I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? I said, well, some fall off the trees. He said, that's true. But he said, but you looked at them. I'm like, look at this guy. He's just scoping me out. Because I was just looking at all of it on the ground. And some was partially eaten. But most of them had one bite taken out of them. Just took one bite. Well, what happened was, it was picked before its time. And when a person bit into it, it was bitter. So they threw it away and said, this isn't good. Yes, it is. It's just not time for you to eat it yet. And sometimes we will dismiss what God has provided because we try and get it too soon and we have a bitter experience. And we think that doesn't work. I mean, that fruit was created to nourish our bodies. Those vegetables and fruits, they were there to put nutrients back into our bodies. I mean, they could have been a salad. They could have been canned. There's so many things that could have been in a pie. There's so many things that could have been done if the person had just waited. Just waited. Then what God has provided wouldn't have been decaying on the ground, not useful for any purpose, except to make the soil probably richer when it breaks down. But it was there. God allowed it to grow for our consumption, but we have to wait until it's the right time. Remember, it said it's a time to plant and a time to pick that which was planted. And you need to follow the instructions because they'll tell you. You feel, let me see, yep, this is the right, this feels right, pick it. Or you think, okay, these are going to have to sit for a few days. But you don't, how many of you know you don't take a peach that's as hard as a baseball and bite into it and expect it to be ripe? And as our grandson found out, every green apple isn't a Granny Smith. Okay. And I told him, I said, you have to wait until they're ripe. That these apples are not green. They're supposed to be red. Okay. But there was no, the whole benefit of that fruit went untapped. And that people had a bitter experience because they didn't wait. They tried to consume it too soon. That's why God said the vision is for an appointed time. Galatians 6, that tells us in the Message Bible, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up. If we stick with it, if we're willing to wait it out, you'll have a good crop. Hebrews 10 says, let's hold fast, verse 23 says, let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that did what? That promised. God is faithful. In 2 Corinthians 1, he said, for all the promises of God in him, that means in Christ, are yea and amen unto the glory of God. See, we shouldn't have to ask God when we will receive. He told us that we were going to receive, and that needs to be good enough. That needs to be good enough. We have to stop getting ourselves in a roar, as Pastor Ed would say, because it appears that God's not moving on our behalf. What I believe, what happens with me, yeah, thank you, Lord. What happens with me is that if I allow myself to get wrapped up, I don't see God's promises coming because I'm not looking in a direction, in his direction. I'm looking around for the promise. All I have to do is stick to doing what he told me to do. Remember when we were teaching on the names of God and we talked about Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh means in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. See, we get up and we say Jehovah Jireh, my provider. When you look at the translation of that word in the concordance, it means in the mountain of the Lord it will be seen. It means when you are where God is, you will see your provisions. When you go where God sends you and you're doing what God tells you, you will see your provisions. How do I get to that conclusion? God told Abraham a specific place to go. There were a lot of mountains around. If Abraham goes to a wrong mountain, there's no ram in the bush and his son is dead. But he went exactly where God told him and was willing to do exactly what God told him to do, which was sacrifice his son. And if he hadn't gone through all of those steps, his son would be dead. But he did exactly what God told him to do. And God came through and provided an alternative sacrifice. It wasn't by accident that the ram was there caught in the thicket. That's where God sent it. See, we have to understand that God will give you a promise and he'll send the fulfillment of that promise to a particular place. And then he'll try his best to get you to go to that place. And if you don't go to that place, you won't see the promise. And you'll become discouraged and you'll think, well, God has abandoned me. No, he's right where he told you to go. And at the same time, he's behind you, egging you on. Think, no, to the right, go to the right. And you're like, where is it? I don't see it over there. It must be over here. He's like, no, go to the right. To the right, to the right. You know, maybe it'll put it to music when you go to the left and go to the right. Maybe we would have done it then. But we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over. And God is saying, enough. My promises are sure. All I need for you to do is wrap your faith around my promise. That's the only part really that's missing. We're not wrapping the promise with strong, sound faith. I didn't plan this. I really didn't. I told our grandchildren, I said, this will probably come out in the message. But I don't know. There's this dance that the young people do. What's it called? The nay-nay? How do you know that? One part of it says, do the stanky leg. And that's when your leg just goes like this. And they were surprised that we knew how to do that. I'm like, but that's, see, that's, but that's what happens. We go after faith with stanky legs. And instead of being sure and firm, we're just wobbling, trying to figure this thing out, hoping that we'll survive, when all we have to do is just take bold steps and go where God told us to go. Believing that exactly what he said will come. And on time. That's why when we marry folks here, we don't have them confess for better or worse. And richer or poor, why are you going to give the devil 50% of your life? I mean, you tell them, you have permission to make me sick, to make me worse. Why do that? No, we tell them our cabinets will be filled. God has blessed us abundantly. And he's going to provide everything we need and on time. That's what we have the couples confess. We want them to start out knowing that God is going to do what he said, and he's going to do it in a timely fashion, but it's his time frames and not our time frames. Do you understand? Yeah. Believe it or not, I'm almost finished. I need you to say this. My faith
will always
bring God's promise into reality. Say it again. Say,
my faith
will always bring God's promise into reality. Now say this. My faith gives substance to God's promises. God's promises will not have any substance unless I wrap my faith around it. See, you just learned a valuable key. You have to live by faith. See, even though God said it, yeah, you have to believe it. That's faith. It's, well, I believe it. Then why are you concerning yourself with when it's going to take place? We normally wait for things. And normally we're anxious. You're waiting for a bus. You know the bus comes at 9. 3 minutes to 9, where is this bus? It's not due till 9. And don't let it get to 9:01. Okay, you're ready to send a letter to the bus company. We've allowed ourselves to become impatient because of societal issues. And we're bringing it over into the kingdom. And we have to remember, God doesn't operate that way. He operates according to his time frame, and he called his time frame due season. All we have to do is know that if God said it, it's coming. That's all. You can run through your house and scream out, it's coming! It's coming! Neighbors say, what in the world are you talking about? What's coming? All that God promised me. It's coming. When? Doesn't matter. All I know is, it's coming. And you stay excited about that. How do you know it's coming? He said so in his word. He said all of his promises are yea and amen. And this is what he promised me. Doctor says, oh, well, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to live with this condition for the rest of your life. It's coming. It's coming. What's coming? Prospering and being in health. It's coming. Himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. But you're sick. No, it's coming. When I go to doctor's office, he says, how's everything? They've never been better in my life. I said, but why are you in the doctor's office? He said, that doesn't have to do with anything. You ask me how I'm doing. You didn't ask me how I'm feeling. Okay. I'm doing fine. Doesn't matter where I go, what's happening. Go to your arms hanging off. How are you doing? I'm great. Why? God said he sent his word and healed me and delivered me. You're going to need surgery. He didn't say how. He just said he was going to do it. It's going to take weeks of therapy. He didn't say how long it would take. He just said he would do it. But I will tell you this, right now you're making it take longer asking me these questions. Let's get this thing going. All right? You got to sew it on, get out the needle, let's go. Get this thing going. Why? Because I'm so confident that my Father's going to handle it. And I don't care when. I don't care when. Tell your neighbors, say, stop caring when. Say, be like me, I don't care about it. Okay? Do you understand, folks? God told us that we're not staying here. He told us that we're going to have the mall now that's now called the Shops at Nanuet. He didn't just say we're going to have the Sears building. He said, I'm giving you the mall as a spoil. And the first building you're going to take is the Sears building. That's what he said. He didn't tell us when. He didn't tell us how. And you know something? It doesn't matter. All that matters is that's what he said. And that's what we're going on. So no, there are major things we need to do around here. We haven't gotten a release to do it. Now, if God tells us to do it, we will. But we haven't gotten a release. And we suspect it's because he knows when we're leaving. And why dump money into here that we don't need to? One of the things we need to start praying about on Fridays, we need to start thanking God for maintaining the roof and everything, because this roof is about 40 years old. Yeah. Holds up a whole lot of snow. But we have to stop taking for granted that it'll just be okay and start speaking to it. We need to speak to the air conditioning units and tell them you will not suck up our money just because you're old and not the most. You will operate as an energy efficient unit in Jesus' name, because our Father promised. He promised. See, those are the things that we do because we believe the promise. If we didn't believe the promise, we'd be in a sweat because we start looking at all the money it's going to cost to replace everything around here that's 40 years old. Not the people, the things. Okay. But God said, I'm giving you the Sears building. Giving. So we don't have to do anything about it. He said, get floor plans. I contacted the building department. They sent me the floor plans that they had for the Sears building. So we have some. When he says send it to an engineer and start working on designs, guess what? That's what we're going to do. I'm not going to ask him, today, Dad, do you want me to send it today? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay cool, calm, and collected. And when he tells us to do something, we're just going to go do it. That's all. Because the message Pastor Sarah taught some time ago, heirs can afford to wait. You know it's yours. Yes, there are some that will do some despicable things to get their inheritance sooner, but that's not who we are. We are willing to just wait. And the reason we can wait is because God promised. And he keeps all of his promises. They're sure. They're yea and amen. You can take them to the bank. And that's what we have. That's the attitude each of us have to adopt, no matter what comes. Stop saying, I can't take this anymore. You can. You were built to endure. Think about that. We were built to live eternally in these bodies. It was because of Adam's and Eve's transgressions that we have to get new bodies. So we were built to endure. You can go through things. Do you realize that it's your thoughts that cause your body to become tired and not want to go on? It's your thoughts. You keep thinking, when is this going to happen? Or worse, we think, I don't think this is ever going to happen. The minute we utter those types of words, we're saying, God, we don't believe, we no longer believe your word. You take too long. When he said, well, I only want to give you my best. So what difference? You can have fast food and all that goes along with it. Or you could have it from scratch. Costs more, takes longer. Better for you. Tastes much better, lasts much longer. And that's the type of God we serve. We don't serve a fast food God. He's not in a hurry. And as Pastor Clinton always said, he's not Burger King. You can't have it your way. Okay. It has to be one way, Yahweh. Yahweh, not your way. Yahweh. I think I'm done. I'm just going to read this once more. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will not tarry. Folks, I'm not opposed to having things. I mean, we have things. But we've been taught here that we have things that things don't have us. Are there things that we would like to have? Of course there is. But we're willing to wait and let God do it. I mean, we can go out and do it. But there's stuff that comes along with it. We wait till God does it and we have it free and clear. You know, God's going to allow you to have it whichever way you want. But he keeps telling us over and over and over, trust me, do it my way. It works out better for you. That's all. How many of you want it to work out well for you? Yahweh, not your way. Okay? And I promise you, it will happen. It will.